I want us tonight to solve a mystery. Ever been a part of any of this trying to solve a situation? What was that name of that board game that was played that had a murder right in the middle of it and the butler killed him with a butcher knife in the kitchen? Is that, you remember that old game? Was it called Mr. Clue? I think there was an earlier edition. And it was Mystery. I don't know if you got the updated version, you got the old King James or the new King James, solving a mystery. And that's what I want us to do tonight, is to solve a mystery. Now, here's the problem that you'll have, and that is you really cannot use the New Testament to solve it. And because that's a part of this mystery that we're going to talk about. Now, later in this lesson, we're going to talk about the solving about what the mystery is. But perhaps I can introduce the sermon in this way. You are Adam and Eve, and you've come out of the Garden of Eden. And God says to you, Adam and Eve, you've sinned. We got to do something about this sin that's in your life. And here's what I want you to do, Adam and Eve. I want you to tell me how there's going to be a scheme of redemption. You've eaten of that forbidden fruit. The very day you ate of it, you were separated from God. You were driven out of the presence of God, and no longer could you talk to God in the cool of the evening. Now you're separated from God. Adam and Eve, it's up to you to tell me how to get reconciled to God. Now, the text of our lesson, and we do not have slides tonight, so you may want to use your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 would be a beginning place. Paul says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, a hidden wisdom. Oh, okay. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even a hidden wisdom. It's hidden from us. The mystery, you see, is this problem that Adam and Eve had, and that is, God, how on earth are you ever going to bring about the reconciliation of the world? How's it going to ever, ever happen? And so that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to introduce the lesson by going to Matthew chapter 13. And in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus presents the first of these parables, and as he presents the first of these parables, he says, "Assuredly I say unto you," Matthew chapter 13, verse 16 and 17, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it." I think I'll come down here and talk to you down at this level. I'm going to ask you to try to remember this lesson tonight. Sully, I want you to be the cheerleader over here, and I want you to be responsible for making sure that everybody over here knows who is trying to understand the mystery. Group number one, prophets tried to understand. That's all you got to remember, prophets. You think they're smart enough, Sully, to remember? Anybody back there look intelligent enough to help you remember that it was the prophets? Quit overlooking your mom, okay? Now, but he says many prophets have tried to understand these things. Wait a minute. This group number two says that many righteous men tried to understand these things, which means it was a mystery to them. So here are these prophets, and group number two, who is it? It's the righteous men that are trying to understand these things. You know, this is not the only time Jesus talks about this. In the book of Luke, Luke chapter 10 talks about some other individuals who tried to understand this. I don't know who to put in charge over here. You think these girls are intelligent enough you don't think they are. They're shaking their head. No, I really think you will get this better than your mamas and daddies do, okay? But in Luke chapter 10, he talks about this very same thing. And he explains these things to them. He says, "For I tell you that many prophets and kings." You got kings? Luke chapter 10, verse 24. "Many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen them, and to hear what you hear and have not heard them." All right, now wait a minute. Who's trying to figure this mystery out? Sully, who's trying to figure this out? All of you can help Sully answer that. Who's trying to figure this out? Who is it? Prophets. Section number 2, who's trying to figure these things out? Righteous men. Group number 3, this is the real hard one. Who's mentioned over here? Not prophets, not righteous men, but he says who? Kings. You ready, guys? You've got the good one. You've got the good one, and this is really, really important, because we're going to solve a mystery that prophets and righteous men and kings were not able to solve. All right, group number 4. You're a bit fewer in number, but I want to read to you from 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, "Which things," that's verse 12, the last statement in verse 12 that says, "that many angels." You got that? Many angels have desired to look into these things. That's pretty good. Wait a minute, let's start back over here. You guys, can you tell me the names of any prophets? Can you name any prophets in the Old Testament? Well, what about Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi? Is that a pretty good start? There's some other people that were there. See, it's a mystery. And nobody could understand, and so Isaiah didn't understand it, Jeremiah didn't understand it, you know, Ezekiel, Daniel didn't understand it, and they were trying to figure out this mystery. Wait a minute, you know any righteous men that might have been trying to figure this out? What about Abraham? Would you consider Abraham to be a righteous? Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. There's a good name. Wait a minute. You know any kings over here that might have tried to figure out the mystery of what God was up to? There are a lot of kings in the... There's the teenage king, Josiah. He did a lot of great things, but he didn't figure it out. He wanted to figure it out. What about King David? Surely David, who wrote the Psalms, surely David had this mystery all figured out. And Jesus said, "And the kings could not figure it out." Wait a minute. You guys know any name of any angels? Archangels? You know any angels there are in the Bible? You remember the one who announced the birth of Jesus? You remember his name starts with a G? Starts with a Gabe? Would that help? What about Gabriel? And what about Michael in the Old Testament? And they're trying to figure it out. Now here God is working on this earth, and the angels are up in heaven, and they're saying, "What's going on down there?" Can you imagine how perplexed the angels were when this creation was all laid out there, and all of a sudden sin comes into the world, and man separated from God, and the angels said, "What's happening down there?" And then there's the flood that comes along, and the angels are saying, "Man, they messed it up, haven't they? Look how upset God is. Wonder what God's going to do. Wonder what God is up to." That's pretty remarkable, isn't it? Look in Romans chapter 16. Here is where that mystery, it's not the first time that the word mystery appears in the Bible, but it is one of the last, one of the really important times where it is discussed in detail. So Paul writes to the church at Rome, and he says, "Now to him," chapter 16, let's start about verse 25. to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Hello? When did God have this mystery in mind? Since the world began. Now there's some other verses that say the very same thing. But here's a verse that says, God had it all in mind and he kept it secret since the world began. But then he says in the last verse, or next to the last verse of the book of Romans, but it is now made known by the prophetic scriptures, made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God. And so Paul says, this mystery that was kept secret since the world began was made known by the prophetic scriptures. Where do those prophetic scriptures come from? Well, primarily the Old Testament prophets. And it's made known by the prophetic scriptures according to the commandments of God. And then here is a key verse. Why was this mystery made known? Look at the last phrase in Romans 16. You know, the next to the last verse says, for the obedience of the faith. Obedience to the faith. That is remarkable. For obedience to the faith. Well, what's the mystery? Don't know. Nobody can figure it out. Nobody can figure it out. You mean to say that Isaiah didn't understand Isaiah 53? Have you ever thought about the fact that if Isaiah had been with the Ethiopian eunuch who's reading from Isaiah 53, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Is it possible that Isaiah didn't know what he was talking about? Oh yeah, that's very possible. Because you see, it's Isaiah who talked about the fact that Jesus was going to be suffering and all of the shame there would be in his life. And David talked about that same thing. And then he talked about the glorification of Jesus. How on earth can you have somebody that they'd be spitting on and they would beat him and they would scourge him and then he would be King of Kings and Lord of Lords? How's that all going to come together? You want to go back to 1 Peter chapter 1? Go back to 1 Peter chapter 1, and the Bible says that here are these Old Testament prophets. Sully, that's the ones that you're keeping, helping us keep up with. Here are these Old Testament prophets, and it says in verse 11 that they were searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ that was in them did signify when it spake beforehand of the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. You hear? Those are words. You understand what he's saying? Here are these Old Testament prophets, and they've written down about about these matters, and they're trying to figure it out. And so they're trying. It's not just angels. Here's Isaiah, and here are these Old Testament prophets saying, the suffering and the glory, when's this going to happen? What's this suffering all about? And then the verse says, God said something to them, to whom it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things that have now been reported of you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. And then all of a sudden, that's where the angels come in. Which things the angels desired to look into. What was revealed to them? That what they were writing didn't have much to do with them, had everything to do with them, but it really was written for our benefit. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Who understood it? Who understood these matters? You want to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where that was our text that was read tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says that we speak the wisdom of God among those who are mature. That's in verse 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Yet not the wisdom of the world, nor the rulers of this age who are come to nothing. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. And then he says, none of the rulers of this world understood it. For had they understood it, they wouldn't have killed the Son of God. So here's the most educated men in the first century. Here are the scribes and the Pharisees, and here are the rulers in the Sanhedrin, and here are the rulers of this world who killed Jesus. And the Bible says they didn't have a clue what was going on. And then having said that, he says, you want me to prove it? Then he quotes from the Old Testament. And so he quotes from the book of Isaiah, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of any man what God had prepared. Prophets didn't understand it. Righteous men didn't understand it. Kings did not understand it. Angels did not understand it. And there was not one individual, not one individual on this earth when Isaiah writes this, who understood what was going on. See, it's not just Adam and Eve. It's Abraham. It's Isaac. It's Jacob. It's David. It's all of these Old Testament prophets, and then all of the philosophers of this world. And he said that what it had not entered into the heart of a single one of them, what God had in mind. That's the mystery. What's the mystery, though? Nobody understood it. Forget the New Testament. Not a bone will be broken. How's that fit in this story? They gamble for his garments. For my garments they cast lots. A virgin shall conceive, be with child. Your king is going to come riding on a donkey. He'll be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. They're going to spit in his face. He was bruised for our iniquities. How are you going to put all that together? My God, why have you forsaken me? When you get to the end of the book of Malachi, you don't have a clue what's about to happen. You don't have a clue what's about to happen. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, that which had not entered in the heart of any man that God had prepared for those that love Him, but God has revealed these things unto us by the Holy Spirit. Now you're getting the New Testament. I said in the latter part of this lesson, you can get in the New Testament, and when you get to the New Testament, the Bible says, by the Holy Spirit of God. And so, with the New Testament, and I talk about no bones will be broken and gambling for his garments and being born in Bethlehem, born of a virgin, of him riding on a donkey, of them spitting in his face, of the Lord laying on him the sins of us all, of it all. Are you aware that had you gotten into the chariot, you would have done a better job explaining what that Ethiopian was reading whenever he read that verse. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. You could have explained. You might not have done a great job, but you know who that lamb that was led to the slaughter. You know who that sheep is. Isaiah, who wrote those words, could never have explained it. Why? It had not entered into the heart of one individual on this earth what God had in mind for those that love Him. Now Paul says, God's revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Now watch this. Go to the book of Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, Paul says, by revelation, chapter 3, verse 3, God has made known to me the mystery. Oh, Paul understood. Yeah, Paul, how did you get it? I got it by revelation. God revealed to me something that had not entered into the heart of even one man, and God, by the Holy Spirit, has revealed this unto me. And then he says in the next verse, guess what? I wrote it down so that when you read what I have written, you will be able to understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ. You know what that says? Guys, do you know what that says? Don't you wish you could know the Bible as good as Paul did? Paul said, I've written it down so you can understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ. How you do that, Paul? By when you read it, you will understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ. Can we put a bracket right here and come back to this point in just a minute, just a dash or a timeout or something? In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul says, we know in part. Why? It's not all been revealed. God is in the process, started at Pentecost, started when Jesus was on this earth, of revealing the mystery of God. And when Paul writes 1 Corinthians chapter 13, guess what? It has not all yet been revealed. Are you aware that Paul died before it was all revealed? Or at least before it was all written down. Wait a minute. You can know what Paul knew. That's what he says, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ. You have to spend your lifetime studying, but you can know as much about the mystery of Christ as Paul did. But Paul says, I don't know at all. The revelation is not complete. It means you can know more than Paul did. Is that remarkable? Because when Paul writes this, the Bible's not complete. The revelation is still going on. It's still being written down. And so it is not only true that you can know what Paul knew about the mystery of the gospel, but you can know more than Paul did if you'll study. If that doesn't make you want to get inside this book and study, I don't know what would motivate you anymore. I don't know what heaven's going to be like. But wouldn't it be interesting? You get to heaven, you had to explain some things to Paul that he didn't understand, because you got the fullness of the revelation of the will of God. That's sort of a hypothetical comment, but that's remarkable, isn't it? Paul didn't understand it because the revelation was not complete. What is this mystery? This thing that God kept secret for thousands, you know, for four millennia. God's working on this earth and doing one thing after another and after another, and not anybody from the time of the creation until the time of the coming of Jesus, even the angels are trying to figure out what's going on, and there's not one individual on this earth prior to the coming of Jesus who's able to comprehend what God had in mind. What is the mystery? Well, in verse 5, he says, in other ages, it was not made known unto the sons of men as it has now been revealed by His Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? To His holy apostles and prophets. It's been revealed. There's a revelation of the mystery made known through these New Testament prophets, through these New Testament apostles. And then he says, here it is in one verse, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ through the gospel. You want one verse to tell you what God had in mind? You want one word? The church. Old Testament, Jews separated, God's chosen people, Gentiles sort of on the perimeter, on the outside. Oh, there's promises in the Old Testament that someday the Gentiles will be brought in. There's all of those promises. But we understand them because we've got the New Testament. And he says, here it is, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs. There's not a Jew on earth that stands any closer to God than you do. That wasn't the way it was in the Old Testament. Chiefly, what advantage then hath a Jew? Chiefly because unto them were given the oracles of God. They had the Old Testament Bible, the Old Testament was not given to Gentiles, written for the Jews. They had the inside track. But here's what God had in mind. God had in mind that he was one day going to put something on this earth that would make Jews and Gentiles and make everybody on this earth have the same access to God. Fellow heirs. Fellow meaning equals. And partakers of the promises that God has made in Christ through the gospel. Wait a minute. And be of the same body. You know what the body is? Ephesians 1:22, God's put all things under the feet of Jesus and given him to be head over to all things to the church, which is his body. I want you to listen to this. You grab this and I'll stop the sermon just right after I think you've got it. The body is the church. And before God brought the revelation of the mystery and he kept it hidden, nobody ever understood it. Prophets didn't understand it. Righteous men didn't understand it. Kings didn't understand it. Angels did not understand it. Nobody on this earth understood it. And the mystery is that Jew and Gentiles are to be in the same church. Can I make that even more emphatic? He had Palm Beach Lakes in mind from the whole creation. That's the church. And if we really are the church that Jesus established, if we really are the church of Christ, God had in mind in the 21st century, there would be churches and Jew and Gentiles would be being brought into that one body. You know what the mystery is? The mystery is God had a plan for us to be a part of that eternal plan and the purpose of God to bring all men, Jews and Gentiles, into the one body. I think that's pretty remarkable. Now, there's a sense of responsibility that's been given to us. You go and tell everybody about the cross. You go with the knowledge that you have of this mystery and tell the world about this mystery. Who was it that didn't understand it? Prophets? Righteous men? Kings and angels? None of them understood it. In fact, not one person on this earth could figure it out. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes, and how blessed we are. You are a part of the eternal purpose that God had in mind to bring about the redemption of the world. Let's work. Let's use every opportunity we have. I love those Second Sunday situations, don't you? You know, the brother, the guy who's now our brother was baptized, you know, when he came, you know, one of his initial contacts with this church was Second Sundays. That's what it's all about. And so now angels can look down and see us, and hopefully they will not say, God, you've messed it all up. You've given it to Palm Beach Lakes and they're not doing what you want them to do with it. I hope the angels are up there saying, isn't God amazing how he's worked it all out to put the church on this earth? Now the question is, Where do you fit in this? Are you a member of the church? Don't think that your life will never make any difference on this earth. You can be a part of God's eternal plan if you will believe in Jesus. If you will repent. Repent means you make up your mind, I'm going to follow Jesus. And when you've confessed your faith in Jesus, you can be baptized into the one body. That's 1 Corinthians 12:13. How do I get in the body? I'm baptized into the body. And if you've never been baptized into that body, you need to do it before you leave this building tonight. Because you know right now, in the last 40 minutes, you've learned more than prophets and righteous men and kings and angels could understand. You know God's eternal purpose. If you're an unfaithful Christian, this song we're about to sing is your invitation. It's an invitation to those who are not Christian, and it's an invitation to those of us who are Christians to deal with sin in our lives. Let's go to heaven, and let's ask God to bless us and use us. But if you're not a member of the body, or if there are things you need to correct in your life, and coming forward and having the church to pray for you would help, that's what this invitation song is all about. If you're subject to the invitation of Jesus, won't you come right now? As together we stand and sing. Will you come?